KTSW. San Marcos.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Bobcat Radio, an hour of Texas State news and sports. I am your host, Andrew Zimmel, with co-hosts Brendan Snow, Jordan Myers, and Olivia Cheney. Today is Wednesday, September 20th. Due at 11:15, don't miss Andy Everett, host on-air host and play-by-play for UTSA, to help break down this weekend's premier event in San Marcos. The San Marcos Bobcats play at home against the UTSA Roadrunners. It should be the first game in the I-35 rivalry. Everybody's super excited for it. And then at 11:30, San Marcos Rattlers head coach Mark Soto calls in and talks to us about this week's matchup against Taft. Should be another really good interview. For any questions, or if you just want to tell us we're doing a good job, tweet us at KTSW Sports, at KTSW Sports on the old Twitter. We're going to go into a little bit of what happened last weekend against App State, but first I want to talk real quickly about how crazy this weather has been. Monday and Tuesday it seemed like it was going to just downpour on us, and then today it seemed really cool. So if you're listening and you haven't left the house yet, or if you are about to go out again, it's still pretty nice outside, but I expect it to rain. It feels like it's about to downpour at any minute, honestly.
Yeah, it's every day I'm walking out, you know, expecting full sunshine. I have my sunglasses ready, you know, as wood ones always like to wear. And it's just been nothing but clouds. And then, you know, by noon later in the day, I'm sweating. So it's always Texas around this time.
It's always Texas, man. Texas has the most bipolar weather. So let's break down what happened last weekend. If you haven't heard yet, Texas State lost in the most heartbreaking fashion imaginable. Lost 20-13 after what should have been a solid game. Texas State jumped out to a 10-0 lead on the Mountaineers, the Appalachian State Mountaineers. It really showed what they were made of. Coming back, App State, who won, or co-champion of the Sun Belt Conference last year, scored 17 unanswered points to put the Bobcats behind 17-10 before Sherman James was able to kick one through the uprights to make it a four-point game. App State kicked a field goal to push the score back up to 7. And as time was running out, the Bobcats were able to move 98 yards down the field before Elijah King just couldn't stretch out to break the plane to score a touchdown to potentially tie the game. Taylor Lamb of the Appalachian State Mountaineers didn't do as much damage as a lot of us expected, and threw 17 for 28 for a touchdown, while Terrence Upshaw, one of the best young running backs in the Sun Belt Conference, only ran for 68 yards and a touchdown, both much lower than expected.
Yeah, it was a great showing by the Texas State defense looking at that, because that was one of my main things harping on last week. I was terrified for our secondary to go against Taylor Lamb. You know, Taylor Lamb's an experienced starter. He's played a lot of football at Appalachian State for his career. He's put up some good numbers against some of the better teams in Sun Belt. You know, we've seen Appalachian State play good teams like Tennessee and Georgia. So he's played good competition and played well. If the Texas State defense come out and have a game like that and really keep him in check, kind of shut him down, keep Texas State in the game. You know, Texas State only scores 13 points, but they barely lose. It's just a great sign for the defense.
And if you hadn't been really high on this Texas State defense yet, you should be now. Because with Taylor Lamb being such an experienced quarterback, I think that's going to be one of the most experienced quarterbacks the Texas State Bobcats will play in the Sun Belt Conference. Now, this week, they play UTSA has two very solid quarterbacks. But next week, playing Josh Allen of Wyoming in Wyoming. We were talking about this off air, Brendan. Josh Allen, top five college football talent right now at quarterback.
Yeah, you know, those ESPN guys, really love him, talking about him a lot. And they have him in a top five QB prospect, you know, a little bit behind maybe the Rosen and the Darnolds. But then you start getting into the, I don't want to say second tier, but there's a little bit of a drop-off, and then you get to the Josh Allens.
Not much of a drop-off, not much.
I remember in last draft, if he came out there, you know, I saw mock drafts having him go in the first round, which, you know, shocked me a little bit. I'm like, who this guy? What's Wyoming? But, you know, bringing that back towards Texas State, it's going to be, another big test for them. They've played some good quarterbacks so far, and if you put up a good game against a top-five quarterback prospect, your defense is going to do a lot.
Now, did the Texas State defense have a great game, or did Appalachian State have just an off night? That was kind of, I think, the debate that a lot of us were trying to figure out, what to have.
I'm still gonna give most of it to Texas State. You know, Appalachian State came in with a game plan, and Texas State came in with their game plan, and it wasn't too big of a significance on one side to get the upper hand. The game was close most of the part. Texas State was led early in that game. And like you said, keeping Sturm and that running back in check, not allowing them to break off any really big plays. That's one of the big things. No big plays given up. Kept everything in front. A bend but don't break defense.
Yeah, it really impressed me how quickly the Bobcats were able to kind of shift from playing against Colorado, a team who had a quarterback that was, you know, he's one of the top, Montez is one of the top quarterbacks in the Pac-12, playing a team last week against Taylor Lamb, one of the top quarterbacks in the Sun Belt Conference, but they both have different, I want to say different kind of traits. Like Taylor Lamb might have been a little bit more mobile than Montez was for Colorado, but this week coming into this UTSA game, it's going to be a really competitive matchup when it comes to the quarterback playing against Texas State and the Texas State secondary.
Oh, yeah, because talking about the UTSA quarterback, Dalton Sturm, last week against Southern, he went 19 of 22, 292 yards, 4 touchdowns. I believe that was on the first half.
Yeah, he didn't play the second half.
Yeah, they were up 48-0 at the half. So, you know, he'd have to really play anymore.
But now, it should be noted that Southern is not an FBS school. It is an FCS school.
Yeah, it should be noted, but then, you know, you get Texas State who struggled in FCS school. So, I don't know. I see how you win is, it does show a lot. And he also ran that game 4 times for 35 yards and a touchdown. So, he counted for 5 touchdowns in the first half. He's dangerous all around, and it's going to be up to that, those Texas State front 7, keep them in the pocket, make them, you know, make some tough throws.
And it's going to be very dangerous. Olivia, what was the biggest thing you took away from this Appalachian State game last week?
The thing that most impressed me was Texas State winning the battle in most of the areas, in rushing yards, attempts, and passing. They were all in Texas State's favor when we weren't picked too highly to be matched up well with Appalachian State, so that really impressed me. And then also Damian Williams, Texas State quarterback, being over 50% on completions from his attempts, you know, showing that he's getting more comfortable protecting the ball more, not just throwing it away, and just taking his time and seeing the field as it is.
Yeah, we kind of joked about it a little bit between Brendan and I, how it felt like over a week Damian Williams learned how to throw a football. But throw it accurately, at least.
Yeah.
And that was, I think that's a really big step and a very big improvement for this Texas State offense. Now, against UTSA, these last 3 weeks, a lot of the talk has been, who's going to start? Is it going to be Damian? Is it going to be Willie Jones? I honestly think this week is the week of Damian Williams.
Yeah.
I think this is the game that he is supposed to have. He's supposed to have a really good game this week.
Yeah, I helped him putting up a solid outing last week in Appalachian State. You love to see, you know, he still had the one interception. You know, we can't be too picky and say, oh, he throws 2 interceptions. Well, he's thrown a couple in a couple games. Quarterbacks are going to do that, make mistakes. You know, you get deflected balls, things like that. But he's, for the most part, he's done a good job taking care of the ball because he carries the ball a lot. He has a lot of rushing attempts. Hasn't fumbled with it.
Designed runs, too. And that offensive line is still very young. Very heavy. They all put on a lot of weight this offseason, but still very young.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure we saw, you know, Willie Jones and Jalen Nelson both had limited, you know, a couple snaps at quarterback. Both of them fumbled running the ball. Damian Williams yet to fumble, you know, and Everett Withers is going to put a lot of value in that and for his players taking care of the ball, not giving the other team extra possessions, and forcing your defense to be on the field.
So we are pushing up on the 10-minute break, but before we go, I need to tell you about Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore. Located on the second floor of LBJ Student Center, the University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. For more information, go to thebookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Oh no, she's gonna blow! Everybody run!
You mean the reactor?
No, the Alcac Library is stuffed full of books and games and movies and printers and tutors. It can't take much more.
Oh, will you relax? We'll go check out some books and grab some board games and movie. You'll see, it's fine.
Awesome. Sounds like a blast.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
For more information, go to library.txstate.edu.
It's up and it's good, right on the money.
Texas State football's really kicked off, hasn't it, Charlie?
It sure has, Tom. Bobcat Stadium is packed with fans of all types.
Looks like those tailgaters sure are ready for game day.
Maroon and gold everywhere.
Whoa, look at that juke.
We also have the fine folks from Bobcat Radio with the live coverage airing on KTSW 89.9.
Wow, that's some tight coverage. Nothing getting past those guys. Can I get a replay on that?
That's Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. If you're just tuning in, we are about to go deep, deep, deep into UTSA coverage. Andy Everett, voice of the UTSA Roadrunners, calling in shortly. Before he calls in, let's just break down a little bit of what the UTSA Texas State rivalry is. UTSA has only had a program for about 7 years now. Coming in, beat Texas State in 2012 in their second year of the program's existence, 38-31. This is the first time since then that the Bobcats and Roadrunners are going to meet up. And to just add a little bit of cherry on top, in San Marcos. Now, this is a very big game, not only because of there's no real implications when it comes to Conference USA or Sunbelt Conference standings, but what is implications is kind of bragging rights, Brendan.
Yeah, because really, if you look at it, I know we want to call it a rivalry, but it's not a true rivalry yet, you know?
Yet.
Hopefully it should be with the teams having a lot more scheduled meetings with each other in football, because, you know, our guy Larry Carlson told us yesterday, football's king, it's what we talk about. You know, they play each other in volleyball twice in like a two-week span. You know, you don't hear much about it. We see them in baseball.
We see them
in a bunch of these other sports. You just don't hear as much about it. But when it's football, when you have an audience, you know, you have a crowd, people at the game, people want to keep up because they just want that bragging rights. That's all they want.
And this is really what kind of separates the men from the boys here. Because when you talk about bragging rights between, say, Auburn and Alabama. You don't talk about, oh, so-and-so's volleyball team beat the other person's volleyball team. What we do talk about, though, is the football matchup on the gridiron. And I think that is really what's going to be, this is what distinguishes what it is. It's going to be a very young, this is a young rivalry, and both teams are still very young, but I think this is what's going to, you know, really hype up both schools. And I'm getting word now we have Andy Everett, voice of the UTSA Roadrunners. Andy, can you hear us?
Yes, how are you guys doing?
How's it going today?
Very good.
That's great. Are you excited for this weekend?
Yeah, I think everybody is. I think everybody associated with the two schools looks to renew what has been a long-storied rivalry in other sports. I don't think it's trickled down to football as a rivalry just yet. Because none of the players have ever played each other and they don't really know what to expect. We're not in the same conference anymore. I know that when the two schools were conference rivals, the basketball games were some of the most epic matchups of the year in both arenas. But now the basketball game is played every other year in the other person's gym and it's not the same as it was, but anytime those two schools get together, there certainly is a history between them and other sports.
Now, before we get too deep into Texas, the football game this weekend, I want to talk a little bit about Lynn Hickey, athletic director, or former athletic director for the UTSA Roadrunners. Resignation came in the past couple weeks. What can you tell us about that, or what surprised you from that resignation?
Well, just the timing of it was so surprising with the start of the season, and also UTSA's athletic department will manage the operation of the Final Four next April. So that was kind of the surprise about it. When Lynn got here in 1999, UTSA's athletic department could not have been in any worse shape. The things that she had to do the first 5 to even 10 years that she was here was to undo what had been done in the late 80s and early 90s because it was not run like a Division I athletic department. And she just made tremendous strides to get the community involved, to get people involved, to make it something that people wanted to be a part of. And when she was interviewing for the job, she had no intentions of having football. That was one of the things that was asked in her interview, do you want football on campus? And she said, no, I don't think so, but it didn't take her long to realize that if you don't have football, you don't have campus life. And she's got the campus life. She knew that once football came on, that the campus life would improve. More and more people would want to live on campus. If you can look at the way the campus is now as it was in 1999, there's hundreds of more dorm rooms and on-campus living. There's certainly much more life to the campus than just being a commuter school like it was for so long in its infancy. So her legacy will be terrific for years and years to come. And the new person will come in with some new ideas, but he won't have to undo the things that she had to undo for so many years with the regime that was here 18 years ago.
So she is one of the founders of the kind of UTSA movement for football. What did that resignation do? Did you see a lot of like boosters and stuff kind of come out and shocked by that resignation? Is the campus worried that this will be a step back for UTSA?
No, I don't think so, because the same committee that is hired Frank Wilson has been hired to find UTSA's next athletic director. And this company did a terrific job in finding Frank. I don't know that anybody had Frank Wilson on their radar until this company presented him to UTSA. And it was clear that when he sat down for the interview that he was the best candidate. And I think they'll do the same thing. And they'll have probably at some point three or four finalists, and they'll bring those people in for interviews with the campus community. And once they get to that point, they'll be able to move forward. You know, when you look at sports and how you maintain an athletic department or improve one, there's no promotion in sports that's better than winning. And the football team is winning right now. And they won last year at an unprecedented clip because of the league that they're in and the growth that they've had to come up with. And then you turn your attention to basketball and what Steve Henson did, basically with the same roster, minus two players that accounted for 40% of their scoring the year before, a team that had won five games in the 15-16 season, for him to get that team to 14 wins with really not a lot of offense was remarkable. And so that team is winning. And the volleyball team has been great at winning. The track and field team has won championships. So as long as you keep winning, the community will be behind you. Your diehard fans are there for the long term. The bandwagon grows when you win. And I think that just from hearing some of the comments from UTSA's new president, Dr. Amy, he is very pro-athletics. He thinks that that's a way to get recognition and branding for your school, and it can be a very positive thing if it's done correctly. So I have no doubt they'll pick somebody that can move the needle forward.
Hey, Andy, Brendan here. Brendan Snow, you're talking about how not a lot of teams really had Frank Wilson on the radar. I've grown up an LSU fan. I knew Frank Wilson. I didn't know him, but I was familiar with Frank Wilson. He was the running back coach there and knew how much he did for their recruiting and how big of an impact he played, but didn't get that much credit. And, you know, I love that hire at UTSA. And what has he done since being there to kind of change the culture and really turn that football team around to a pretty solid program they have now?
I think there's two things. Number one, he has basically said there is no recruit that is too good to come to UTSA. And Larry Coker did a terrific job in his first 5 years coaching this football team and recruiting athletes that got better and better each year. But Frank's taken that a step further. I think UTSA has a couple of players on this team that Larry did recruit that will be in the NFL. And I think they have got several players that Frank is recruiting that someday will be in the NFL. They're that good of caliber of player. And when you're at UTSA or a non-Power 5 school, or even if you're at a Power 5 school that isn't very good traditionally, one of the ways you recruit is you tell people, you can come in here and you can play right away. Now, Kansas and Texas Tech and Iowa State are probably telling the recruits the same thing. The difference is if that recruit comes to UTSA, he can win and compete in Conference USA. If that recruit goes to those schools I just mentioned, chances are the best they're going to hope for is 7-5, and that's a good year. So when Frank goes out to recruit players, he's getting players that could probably play Power 5 conference level, and they're stacked on this team. The second thing is he knows the right words to say to the right players. There are the one thing that the best recruiters ever, and you look at Daryl Royal and Barry Switzer from years and years ago that were just masters at recruiting, and Nick Saban is probably in that boat right now. They know what the magic word is when they walk into a recruit's home to get that family to embrace them and want to be a part of what they're doing at their school. And that's exactly what Frank has done, is he has been able to go in and get players that had committed elsewhere and get them to change their mind and come to UTSA. And he's been on players from the get-go that he's recruited that have said, I want to play with that guy. And when you have that kind of a leader as your coach, your players will rally around you no matter what the situation is or no matter how dark things get if you go into any kind of a slump. So that's what he's brought, is just a change of culture to where people believe that they can win, and the players that are coming here are better than ever.
Jordan Myers here. So what exactly would you say would be the ceiling for this team this year, the football team, with Dalton Sturm as starting quarterback, senior quarterback?
As long as Dalton stays healthy, UTSA should be favored in every game they play, with the possible exception of Louisiana Tech at the end of the year. That doesn't mean they're going to win them all. The favorite doesn't always win. It's incredibly difficult to go undefeated in your conference. Very few teams do it, except for Alabama occasionally. There's always a game that you're supposed to win that you don't. So if they don't go undefeated, that's not necessarily a failed season. But every player on this team has the confidence that they can do that and then win their conference championship game. And whether or not the committee would let them be a New Year's Six game with only playing 12 games with the cancellation of Houston would be determined. But I think the ceiling is undefeated. Now, whether they get there or not is another story. And I don't know that you put a number on, well, what's a good year? Is 9-3 a good year? Is 10-2 a good year? I've told this story a bunch in the last few months when people have asked me about what I think their record will be. And it goes back to a story that Joe Torre talked about when he was managing the Yankees in the mid-90s. And they were getting ready for a big weekend series with the Red Sox, trying to run down the Red Sox for the pennant. And somebody said to him in a media meeting, wouldn't it be great if you could win 3 out of 4 against the Red Sox this weekend? And his answer was, which game are we supposed to lose? I think when you ask the coaches or the players or the people around this team with the remaining games on their schedule, can you win them all? The players say yes. And if somebody says, wouldn't it be great if you could go 8-1 in the last 9 games? The answer is, who are we supposed to lose to? I think they're very confident that they can have a successful season, but it is definitely predicated on being healthy, and certainly at the quarterback position where there's not much depth behind Dalton.
So talk to us a little bit about Conference USA. How strong of a conference is Conference USA, the conference that UTSA plays in?
I think it's very top-heavy. I think UTSA is good this year. I think Louisiana Tech has been perennially good. Southern Miss has been perennially good. And Western Kentucky has been pretty good. The surprise team right now is probably North Texas. They're much better than people think they are. Seth Luttrell's done a really good job there. I think UTEP is kind of was much better than advertised last year, but they've taken a step back, just probably going through a transition in class. Just looking at some of their scores, I expected them to play better against some of the teams that they played against. But then the bottom of the conference is amongst the worst in college football. Charlotte and the two Florida schools are not very good. UAB is just starting up football again with a whole new roster after dropping it 2 years ago. So when you look at strength of schedules, it really doesn't help the conference teams when they beat those teams, because they should win by 4 or 5 touchdowns every weekend. And that's one of the things that's going to really hurt UTSA if they do win all their games, because they didn't get to play Houston, and the strength of schedule is going to be a little bit skewed because you're going to play Florida International and you're going to play UAB, and you should win those games by as much as you want. And if you struggle in those games and or certainly lose those games, then your status really goes downhill in a hurry as far as what teams think of you and ranking you. But I think there's some good mid-major football in the top half and some pretty bad teams in the bottom half.
So what is your prediction for this game? What matchup are you looking at most?
Well, I think the one thing that every team's going to have difficult with UTSA is getting a lot of points against them and moving the ball against them. this UTSA defense is as good as any defense I've ever seen here, and certainly at the mid-major level, they are a dominating defense. It's led by their front six, their linebacker, Josiah Taiefa, and their defensive end, Marcus Davenport. Both of those guys will usually spend a lot of time in the opponent's backfield. And the secondary was questionable before the season began, but I think what we're learning is that these guys are so good in the front six that the back five don't have to defend for very long. If they can stay cover in a cover situation, and they're playing mostly man-to-man, if they can stay in a cover situation for four, five, 6 seconds, somebody's going to get pressure on the quarterback and make him uncomfortable. So defensively, UTSA is very stingy, and Southern University, when the starters were playing, didn't run a play in their own territory, in UTSA territory, the whole first half in the game the other night. That changed in the second half when UTSA emptied the bench. But I think that it's going to be really difficult for any team to consistently score a lot of points on UTSA. And as long as Dalton's in the game, the offense clicks pretty well. And they've got a really good balance of running and passing the football. It's a very balanced attack, and Dalton can use his legs as much as he can his arm. So with the two first team units on offense and defense, I expect them to continue to play like they have in every game they play this year.
Now, Andy, I know you dabble in golf a little bit, and I'm not much of a golfer, but I enjoy a couple of back nines. Where's the best area golf place? Where's the best place to play golf in this area?
In San Marcos or in San Antonio?
Either one. Where's your favorite place to play golf?
Well, I'm very partial to the Forsyth golf courses, the Forsyth family with the band at the Buckhorn and the Republic. I think all three of those guys, those three courses, they do a terrific job in creating the right value and the right pricing. The band is probably the closest to San Marcos, just down there around Lake McQueenie in the New Braunfels area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all three are just terrific places to play. Some of the country clubs are nice. I think Oak Hills is probably the best of the country clubs for those that decide to join them. I'm a fan of the Valor Creek Club up in Blanco and River Crossing in Spring Branch. And then I think the one that's stood the test of time is the resort course at La Cantera. It's been going under some renovations this summer and has been closed since May, but they're scheduled to reopen it in November. So players can get back out there. So those would be my top five or six. Of course, if you've listened to the show I do on Saturdays and read any of the blogs I put on, my favorite golf courses in the world are all in Scotland. And I've had a chance to go there three times, and I'll go again in about two or three more years.
Well, thank you for talking to us, Andy. Hope it's a good game this Saturday.
All right. We'll see you this weekend.
Andy Everett, voice of Texas State Roadrunners. UTSA Roadrunners. That was a really good interview. I was really impressed. We got a little bit of insight from the other side of the field.
Yeah, it's always great when you can, you know, hear some more information, some more in-depth stuff, and other little details of him talking about, you know, UTSA's front six that really gets most of the job done, and, you know, what Frank Wilson does to recruit so well there. You know, they have the third best non-Power 5 recruiting class. So, you know, that's pretty big for them. Frank Wilson knows what he's doing. Went down there, has changed the culture, and as much as, you know, you were supposed to dislike UTSA, it's kind of been fun to watch them improve over the years and see what they're doing.
We didn't get to ask a lot about Frank Wilson getting hired away, if you know, because his, you know, stock as a head coach has really gone up. We're pushing the 30-minute break before we go. Olivia with the weather.
All right. We have a low of 75 and a high of 95. It's pretty humid outside and mostly cloudy. Enjoy, guys.
You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
In 2015, nearly 3,500 lives were lost due to distracted driving. Distracted driving is just as dangerous as driving under the influence and can destroy somebody's life at a moment's notice. Distractions include texting, eating, lots of people in the car, and even driving while tired can be a potential problem. For more information on distracted driving and how you can play a part in raising awareness, visit nhtsa.gov/riskydriving. Let's make a deal to stay alert behind the wheel. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
What are you up to this upcoming Thursday? KTSW is bringing local live artists from the San Marcos area to Kiva Lounge for Third Thursday. This KTSW event is only hosted every third Thursday of the month. featuring live music and plenty of pool tables to go around. You don't want to miss out on this, because if you do, you'll have to wait till next month to be able to hang out with KTSW. So make sure you clear your Thursday night schedule and come hang out with your friends at Kiva Lounge. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you missed Andy Ever breaking down the UTSA Texas State game in San Marcos this weekend. Right now on the line, we have San Marcos Rattlers head coach Mark Soto. How's it going, Coach Soto?
Going great. How are y'all doing today?
Doing really good. Now, last week you guys had a little bit of a hiccup against the New Braunfels Unicorns. What's the game plan against Taft this weekend?
We just go back to work and clean up our mistakes. You know, played a really good, solid ball game. We just made a few too many mistakes against a good team.
Yes, sir. That defense, it came hit really hard. So against Taft, what is the game plan still? You know, kind of try to get Prudy moving.
Well, we're always going to try to get, Prudy and Jamon moving as best we can. We're going to take what the defense has given us. So, if it's Prudy one night, it's Prudy. If it's Jamon the next night, it's Jamon. If it's the receivers, then it's the receivers. You know, we're just going to watch film through the week and see where we can take advantage of things that they do on defense, and that's how we attack.
Yeah, Coach, we see a lot of calling the game. It's Prudy Calderon and Jamon Johnson's names we're calling a lot. We saw a little bit different. We saw a lot of Meiston Williams this past week. We've seen Elijah make some plays. Who's that kind of third guy that can step up and really help lead the offense?
No, whoever wants to step up. It's equal opportunity out there. You get the ball thrown to you, you better catch it.
Yes, sir. Now, the NFL has really started to pick up. We're going into week three. As a Texas State or as a Texas high school football coach, do you get a lot of time to kind of just, sit back and relax?
Yeah, believe it or not, my girlfriend likes watching NFL football more than she likes watching high school football. So we watch ball games all weekend long whenever we're home.
Who's your team, Coach?
The Cowboys. Jeez, what kind of question was that?
Hey, that's a softball question for you, Coach. That's an easy one. That's an easy answered one.
Yeah.
I don't know, Coach. Some of us Cowboy fans feel like, since I've moved down here, I feel like a minority, being from the North Texas area. I see a lot more Houston fans around here. It's a little odd.
Yeah, it is a little odd at times. Any Texas team does it for me. So, but when the Cowboys are playing well, I like them. When they're not playing well like they did against the Broncos, I might go with the Texans.
That's a solid choice, Coach.
So, no doubt.
Coming into Wednesday, what's the plan for Thursday's practice before your game Saturday? You get an extra kind of day to...
Yeah, we adjusted on the front end of the week. So our Monday was kind of like our Saturday flush. So our Tuesday is like our Monday, so we just kind of move it all down a day. Friday will be like our Thursday. So we just kind of, when you add the day there, you kind of take a day's rest. We were in shirt and short on Monday, kind of flushing and going through our scouting reports and things like that. No contact whatsoever. And then we start at Tuesday, which is our normal Monday, and we go from there.
Coach, any notable kind of injuries or nicks? Just any injuries really bothering any players?
We've built our team really tough. We put them through some serious workouts, from January to now. So they're built pretty tough. We got some guys coming back from injury, which is good, and we'll be moving forward. When it comes to high school football, the two's always got to be ready. They're one play away, and we're not scared of putting in a guy that's been here all year long doing the same things as the one is, just maybe haven't got that break. So we're not scared about putting a two in and just rolling with it.
In practice, when you go scout team versus varsity starters, do the twos get a lot of reps?
Yeah, they sure do. It's almost equal. Your ones and twos are getting your reps. Your threes are the ones that don't. Normally your threes are probably your JV. But we have one day built into the week. It's Wednesday where the JV ones do get quite a bit of work. So, we just try to get everybody a good amount of reps through the week. Of course, the ones are going to get the most reps. The twos will get, just as much. And then the threes, they get some extra time after practice. And then that Wednesday practice that they get a lot more reps.
So what's your scouting report against Taft this weekend?
Taft's a good ball club. They don't have the winning record, but they do have the winning athletes. They've got a tailback. There's a nice looking Joker back there, man. And he can move. He's got a second gear and he finds it when he gets a corner. He'll run through any hole. It doesn't matter. You know, the play may be designed to go to the right and he'll come out to the left. So he's got great vision, runs the ball really well. They go to quarterback, seems to lead the offense very well. He's got some feet that he can escape with. You know, offensive line wise, they're very big. They're susceptible to, you know, some different moves and different blitzes, that we've been looking at on film. You know, defensively, they run to the ball really well. We're going to definitely need to break some tackles and spread them out a little bit and make sure that the tackles become one-on-one tackles versus gang tackling. So for us, you know, offensively, we're going to do what we do. We're going to spread people out, try to find the advantages and take advantage of them. Defensively, we're going to run to the ball, try to get a lot of people to this tailback because, like I said, he can tote the rock really well.
Coach, I just got a clarification question I have to ask. You know, me and Parker keep having this problem up in the booth. On the roster you gave us, number 5 is listed as Aldana Natividad, correct?
Yes.
And that is him who has been playing back at quarterback?
Playing quarterback?
Because he it was him that threw the pass to Ron Johnson?
No. Number 5 is Cameron Verdreen.
Okay, see, on the roster is Cameron Verdreen listed as 19.
Oh, and I think he changed his number.
We've definitely had some mix-ups before, and I've been confused, but I wanted to get that cleared up.
Change that. Yeah, number 5 is Cameron Verdreen. That's Colby's brother, Colby from last year.
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah, so. Yep, definitely. He's actually a backup quarterback. So when he's out there at the receiver position and you see him backing up a little bit, better look out. He's going to throw the ball.
That was a fun play. It's definitely. As soon as I saw him step back and catch it, I was like, oh, he's throwing it. And I looked up and Jamon Johnson was gone.
Yeah, he was. It's hard to keep up with that guy. He can go fast.
Well, I'm glad Brennan could get some clarification. Coach, good luck this Saturday.
All right, I appreciate you guys.
Head coach of the San Marcos Rattlers, Mark Soto. So now we have plenty to kind of break down. I'm going to start with the Andy Everett interview. If you missed it, it came on at 11:15. We just wrapped up with Coach Soto just now. So talking a little bit about Andy Everett, voice of the UTSA Roadrunners, he seems to be on the side, well, of course, he's going to be on the side of UTSA, but he seemed to have a lot more confidence than I thought he would.
Yeah, he was all about, you know, talking up that UTSA program and, you know, kind of rightfully so, saying they're going to be favored probably in every game this year. I thought that was a big one, that, you know, the people who make these lines and stuff, they see as UTSA as possible undefeated team in that Conference USA, and if you do something like that, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, they're a fringe, they could get ranked if you're undefeated that late in the season, and they could be up there and, you know, playing a pretty respectable bowl, which would be huge for, you know, this area of Texas, since they probably won't get one from UT.
To touch on that, I mean, he was talking about the vibe and how they were confident going into this week's game, and I think that's just a huge part of having a newer football program and having a, you know, like that uplifting spirit of campus life and having kids actually go to the game.
Are we getting into this early? Okay. So the biggest gripe that a lot of Texas State alums and a lot of Texas State Bobcats fans, seems to be very salty with the way that the lack of student body involvement in this football game. I know Monday's show that I guest hosted for really seemed to be angry with the fans on Twitter who were kind of just making jokes about, oh, my liver's not ready for this tailgate, or, you know, it's going to be between the tailgate and going to the square afterwards. So it seems like a lot of, not a whole lot of respect being put on the UTSA football team's name.
I wouldn't say as much not putting respect on their name. They're not putting respect on our own names. They don't want to, you know, go to our own football games, see our team. You know, like we said, some of those posts that we've seen, the one that you're talking about, there's a tweet, no name, she said, the nap between the tailgate and the square make you and break you. Well, that period between the tailgate and the square would be the football game. So, you know.
So that's people, just one more fan not going to the
game. Yeah, these are fans, you know, willingly going to the tailgate, being outside the stadium, you know, having, you know, they have a good time out there. I see Snapchat. They're having a good time out there, those tailgates, and then they're out leaving, recovering, and then going out to the square, do whatever that night, not just heading into the football game.
Which isn't right to a lot of Texas State alums. And a lot of what I've been noticing, a lot of Texas State football alums have been kind of getting a little bit, you know, not
not angry, but kind of frustrated with the way that the university is kind of promoting these games. Because Coach Withers and the entire Texas State football coaching staff has done their best to try to make this team respectable as possible. Coming off a 2-10 season, you know, it's tough. You're in a kind of a rut, kind of a hole. You got to climb your way out of it. And Coach Withers has been doing a very excellent job pushing the team in the right direction. This UTSA game, really, though, make or break. Now, Coach Larry Carlson was talking to us, and a lot of fans that went to the original UTSA Texas State game in the Alamo Dome in 2012 said that UTSA rushed the field when they beat Texas State 38-31. Now, the question is, does Texas State rush the field if we beat UTSA, who's clearly right now, you know, the better, honestly, the better program, the more respected program around the nation? I said no. I say you don't rush the field. You treat it like if it's any other win.
Yeah, I don't see the field being rushed. One, I'm not really familiar with the rules around here. You know, the rules, the field of the field security and stuff like that, and how they feel about fans being on the field. But even if, you know, if the fans get that emotional, I'm not going to be upset if they start to. But, you know, you won't catch, you know, you won't catch me running out on the field.
You gotta act like you've been here before, like this is a winnable game.
But Jordan, Olivia, any of you guys running
on the
field?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's just about staying humble, you know. Like, you win a game against a pretty big competition or the rivalry that's starting to rumble up, and if you take that win, you just take it, put it in the books.
Now, no matter what happens from this point on, I was talking to Brendan about this, this is technically the Texas State Super Bowl. Because if Texas State loses this game, even if they go on and win three or four games in conference play, end up winning a five games in on the season, which would be a big moral victory for the program, it doesn't matter. Because Texas State fans are very fickle and would say, hey, no, you lost UTSA. I can't support a team that lost UTSA. Does that make sense?
And something that's big about this one, this is the home game. The home game is the one, you know, you're supposed to protect your house. You got to win your home games. Because after this game, they only have three more home games left. Texas State, you know, sitting at 1-2, they need to win more than two games like they did last year. So if you win one against UTSA here, then you have a good chance when you play Monroe at home, knowing that they're not
a power comp.
They're really one of the bottom teams in the Sun Belt Conference. Going to Louisiana the week after, you know, they've struggled. Coastal Carolina, first time being up here in the football side of the Sun Belt Conference. Georgia Southern's been struggling a little bit. You know, so these are some games that you could win some of those. If you steal this game now, win some of those, you all of a sudden maybe you're looking at five wins, and that's a drastic improvement from last year.
And what really shocked a lot of people that cover Texas State sports was that the loss against Appalachian State didn't get Texas State any more recognition. Because Appalachian State, whether you want to admit it or not, that is a team that when people talk about the Sun Belt Conference, that's the team that they talk about. Because Appalachian State's made a name for themselves. They've beat bigger Power 5 teams in the past. So they have that recognition. People know what Appalachian State is. So Texas State coming 7 points away from upsetting Appalachian State, and I know it's an upset even though it was at home, but upsetting a power team in the Sun Belt Conference, that should put the last two teams on our schedule, Troy and Arkansas State, on notice. Especially if this UTSA game goes the way that Texas State fans want it to go. You almost beat Appalachian State. You come back and you beat UTSA. Everybody in the conference should be like, oh, is Texas State back?
Yeah, definitely on that part of what it can do for them in the long run and how big of a, you know, impact this game could really have despite just being, you know, the fourth game of the season non-conference. It has a much bigger impact than that. There was some buzz, I think, like some of the power rankings. I heard Riley Chestnut talking about yesterday that Texas State's loss did kind of move them up a little bit because it was a competitive loss. It came down to a yard against the co-defending champs. So you gotta, you know, tip your hat to that and say, hey, they're playing with Appalachian State. They lost bad to Colorado, but the defense still didn't look bad in that game. It was more in the offense that looked bad in that game. They could definitely pull out a few upsets with his upcoming schedule.
Well, I don't know if it... See, in the issue is, here's where the real problem is. You lose to App State last week. UTSA, chips don't fall the way we want them. Then you go to Wyoming, who we mentioned earlier in the show, has one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. Not in the state of Wyoming, but in the nation. That is a real challenge. that and losing three games in a row, that is where your fans start turning their backs. The fans that are left start turning their backs a little bit more.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden you're looking at a four-game losing streak. Then you have the Monroe game. And every year, you know, Monroe and Texas State's kind of turned into a little bit of a rivalry when those two teams play. Just, they've always been close, pretty close competitive games, and they've gone back and forth. Texas State's won a few, Monroe's won a few. And, you know, you get that game at home. If, you know, if somehow you go and lose that game, too, and you lose five straight, you know, everyone is definitely turned off if you're sitting there at 1-5. Season's pretty much done. Can't expect much more out of the attendance. So, really, if we can get behind them and support them this week, you know, get a good crowd out there, they put up another competitive game or maybe win it.
Which goes full circle. Where's the fans? Where is the excitement for this game?
Well, as much as we talk about the fans, like Larry was saying, you know, some of the marketing, you know, we see stuff, Texas A&M, you watch an A&M game, everyone in the stadium is wearing a white shirt. Because they gave out a white shirt or told everyone to wear a white shirt. You know, when we go to these Bobcat games, we're wearing whatever Bobcat shirts we have. You know, there's not
a lot
of...
whatever clothes on our back.
Yeah, not a lot of, you know, real spirit things going on. You know, we don't have... You know, we have some of our little chants, but not much people really participating or doing them or even there to really make it worth much. So it just... You know, gotta find something else to sell to the fans other than come watch this football team who, you know is seen as a bad team.
And I mean, you have the CAT camp, you have the freshman class, there's classes FDOM. You have to go to these games to get, like, credit for these classes. So I don't understand why there's not more of a, you know, ingrained in the Texas State body, right? So now we're going to move on a little bit to the line of this game. It went from 22, UTSA moved from 22-point favorites to 13.5-point favorites over the week. That's where the line stands right now, 13.5. Brendan, what do you say?
I like it. I think maybe, you know, some of those guys writing those lines looked at some more Texas State film in that defense and said, hey, you know, they were able to do this against Montez and these quarterbacks. Maybe they can slow down Sturm a little bit. You know, maybe some emotion plays in a factor. And they can make a few things happen, especially since we've now seen what Damian Williams can do. He's going to be held to that expectation of that higher play. If he can play like that, there's no reason you're not in the game.
So you're picking the under?
I want to, but I don't know. UTSA looked really good.
Jordan?
I'm going to go ahead and take the under. I'm really buying into the emotional part of this game. Tradition, starting a tradition, I mean, first rivalry game. I don't know if we can call it that yet, the I-35 game. I really hope the emotion brings people to the game. I really hope it starts something nice. And Damian Williams last week, he looked like a composed senior quarterback. It was nice to see, and I really hope he builds off that and really gets this whole team behind him.
Olivia?
I'm behind Texas State on this one. Like I said earlier, I'm seeing a better team overall, Damian Williams being a more controlled quarterback. The team's somewhat starting to gel. Defense is still going strong, and then UTSA is going to be coming this weekend, so it's just going to be a lot of energy, a lot of emotion into this game. They're going to be competing pretty hard to see who can get that win. So,
the ESPN Odds Center, if you want to call it that, 12.4% chance of Texas State winning at home. I think that's disrespectful. I'm going to take the under as well. I bet the under in the last couple games, and it's worked out for me. So, 13.5-point UTSA point favorites against Texas State. I'm going under. Before we go, we're pushing up on the 15-minute break, but I need to tell you Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore. Located on the second floor of LBJ Student Center, the University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. For more information, go to bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Support for KTSW comes from Austin Community College with ongoing registration for short semester classes. There's still time to pick up ACC fall semester credits that transfer to Texas State, UT, and other universities. More information about short semester 12 and 8-week sessions at austincc.edu.
It's almost harvest time. It's also time for KTSW and Buzzmill's Harvest Live, the new go-to music series here in good old San Marcos. The Real Hands and DeVille San Ramos will be performing at Buzzmill on September 23rd at 9 p.m. You can bet you I'll be there, especially with 20% of the proceeds going to Central Texas Farmers Co-op. The KTSW crew will be there with a lot of swag and even a pair of passes to the Splice Records River Revival Music Fest in New Braunfels. You go on and get there, and we'll get the hay going and the scarecrows growing. Harvest Live.
Breathe!
All right, tell me what you know, radio junkie.
I don't know nothing, man.
Look, I got a bunch of great music and specialty shows on my streets, and I gotta know where it's coming from. So you tell me right now where we're going downtown.
Okay, okay. It's KTSW 89.9. Music, sports, news, social media. It's all KTSW. They got the best stuff on the air right now.
So, KTSW's the real deal.
Hey, but you didn't hear it from me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. If you're just tuning in, you missed two really good interviews, one with Andy Everett, voice of UTSA Roadrunners, and one with San Marcos Rattlers head coach Mark Soto. Brendan, give us some audio.
Oh, yeah, coming up, playing some Frank Wilson. We mentioned the head coach of UTSA is after practice yesterday, actually. He got asked some questions, you know, about Texas State and some of the stuff coming up and what they expect. So here's him just talking a little bit, really, about that Texas State defense. Well, it looks like we have some technical difficulties on that one. Maybe we're not going to be able to get it up, but he's really talking about how that Texas State defense is led by that linebacking core. He keeps referring to Brian Lennon and Gabe Schrade as 9-2, and how much they do for that defense, how much they tackle, how they're everywhere, and how his team has to be, you know, up for the challenge to play a defense like that. We always know Baylor never has much of a defense, and Baylor is just on something else right now, you know, losing that game. And then Southern, like we mentioned, FCS school. So this is going to be probably their first real test of the defense facing Texas State in this linebacking core.
Yeah, no, the Texas State defense, Andy didn't talk about it at all, but I'll talk about it. That Texas State defense is stunning. Like, I don't think UTSA has faced a defense like Texas State yet. Now, I mean, Baylor does D1 athletes, right? But not Texas State's defense is on another level. Andy Everett kind of mentioned about the UTSA defense being so good, but I don't. It'll be a tough one, Brendan.
Yeah, once again, UTSA. I was looking at their stats and what each team are ranked nationally in certain categories, and UTSA's numbers are a little different because they've only played two teams, and one of those being an FCS school.
And
the other one, Baylor, who lost to an FCS school. So it's really hard to kind of gauge at this point. You know, I think maybe after this game, be able to gauge them a lot better. But, you know, Texas State has the 12th best rush defense in college football, 130 teams. They're the 12th best, giving up only 88.7 yards per game through three. 43rd in 20 defense, only giving up 323 yards. And 56th in scoring defense, only giving up about 23 points a game. And one of the things that intrigued me for this is Texas State's 41st in the nation in time of possession, 32 minutes. So they control the clock. You know, they want to run the ball, move the sticks, you know, not as much of a big play team. UTSA, in those two games, 9th in time of possession, controlling the ball for about 35 minutes. So Texas State's defense is going to have to get them off the field so they can get their offense on the field and run that clock.
And Texas State's offense needs to do a very good job of staying on the field. All right, now time for the best segment of the week, your Midweek Spotlight.
Midweek Spotlight.
Jordan, we'll start with you.
All righty, today I have Jackie Bradley Jr., the Red Sox outfielder. We had a big game against the Baltimore Orioles, and yes, I said we because I'm a part of that organization. he had a phenomenal catch in center field, and we won the game 1-0. So it really saved us, and we're pushing for playoffs.
And that was an extra innings too, right? I think it was 11 innings.
Yes, sir.
1-0.
Yes, sir.
Olivia. All right, well, I'll talk a little bit about my midweek spotlight. I'm going to put my spotlight on Damian Williams, who had a really good game last week against Appalachian State. Hopefully this week comes back and does the same kind of stunning game.
I'm going to take the fun midweek spotlight. I thought Andrew's going to take it, but he didn't. Kevin Durant.
Oh.
If you've seen about Kevin Durant and his social media, going on, you know, some accountant asked him, hey, other than winning a championship, why'd you really leave OKC? And Kevin Durant's Twitter responds, I don't have the tweets pulled up, but he's saying he didn't like the organization. He was having problems with the organization, didn't love Billy Donovan as a coach. Take Russell Westbrook away. What is that team, you know? Pretty much calling out the other players on the Oklahoma City Thunder, other than Westbrook, saying they're not very good. And Kevin Durant tweeted that from his account. But he was talking in third person.
Accidentally.
Yeah, he's talking in third person, so that's led the immediate speculation that Kevin Durant has other fake accounts that he uses to defend himself, and then he admitted to it yesterday. And that's just kind of wild stuff to think about, that, you know, athletes out there doing that. Kevin Durant, you know, I don't want to hate Kevin Durant, but then things like this happen where he's, you know, trying to protect him. He cares so much about his image, he's protecting himself from another account on social media.
Yeah, man, that's tough, because even as somebody who puts out stuff about Texas State sports or puts out stuff about even Major League sports, having people come in your mentions to argue with you, it's part of the gig. It's part of the job, and you just got to move on from that. The fact that his ego is that fragile, though, that you need to come and make a burner account to do that, that's a tough one. So now moving on a little bit, we're going to kind of talk a little bit of what happened last week against the Cowboys, and then kind of talk a little bit more of what the game this weekend is going to be.
Well, I'm just going to not talk about the game last weekend, because I don't want to, and talk about, you know, they're playing next Monday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals. It should be interesting. I'm a Cowboy fan, but I've always had a thing for the Cardinals, mainly because they have a bunch of LSU players over there, like Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. So they're one of my other teams in the NFC. Like, okay, I'm okay with the Cardinals winning, but not against the Cowboys, and, you know, hope they're able to bounce back, because, you know, we saw the Cardinals lose pretty bad to Detroit, and then almost lose to the Jacoby Brissett-led Colts.
Which would have messed all of our pick'ems up this coming week. No, playing the Cardinals this week, the Cowboys will face a team in the Cardinals that are 1-1, have an older quarterback, but still a very stout defense. Last week, playing another one of the top defenses in the NFL, Ezekiel Elliott, what was it, 8 yards on 9 carries?
Oh, yeah, we can all highlight Ezekiel Elliott's game, but no one talks about LeSean McCoy and Jordan Howard having below 10 yards, too. It's incredible. It's how the media writes it.
It's because Ezekiel Elliott's supposed to be the top running back in the game. And he also plays for, quote-unquote, America's team. So you and head coach Mark Soto of the San Marcos Rattlers, what are you looking for in this Cowboys game?
I want to see them get back to what they did last year, establish a run and dominate the run. Zeke didn't truly dominate that first game against the Giants. He was okay. This last game, kind of bad. He had the people calling it, saying he gave up on his team, not picking up some blocks, not running that hard, didn't chase after an interception. You know, I don't really believe in the narrative that professional athletes give up on their team like that. I really don't. Maybe he's a little upset. Maybe he didn't give all of his effort, but to say gave up, I'm not going to say that. So I want to see him get it going. And, you know, the offense, you talk about, the high Cowboy offense. Well, they scored 19 points against the Giants and 17 against the Broncos. Granted, those are two of the better defenses in the NFL, but if you have one of the better offenses, you have to put up better games than these.
Yeah, Dak Prescott had a pretty tough game last week, too, so we see if he can bounce back from that. What really shocked me was the fact that Cowboys offensive line, that's supposed to be the best offensive line in the game right now, had such a hard time keeping their quarterback keeping their quarterback up and giving their running back holes to run through.
Yeah, and this is why I think people are trying a little too hard to say blame the Cowboys. I give my credit to the Denver Broncos. They won Super Bowl 2 years ago with that defense. They were one of the best defenses in the league last year. They brought most of those same guys back. They still have Von Miller, Akeem Tlaib, and Chris Harris. So it's a pretty frightening defense. They, you know, give a lot of credit to the Broncos, and, you know, if they can win all that defense, keep it going.
So that's going to do it for us here at KTSW. Thank you for listening to Bobcat Radio. You can listen to Bobcat Radio every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 to noon. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good weekend.